We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. Happy Thursday, as much as we can say happy, because we know we're all weather aware and thinking about this storm that's headed our way. But we, of course, can do nothing about it except prepare, and we hope that you have, no matter where you're at, as Mike and I have been talking about it. Meanwhile, the Falcons are preparing for their game against the Saints right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game on Sunday. And, Mike, before we get into the preparation and the injuries, I just want to mention this because this is a big deal. And if you're a fantasy football player, you probably took him number one overall in your draft. But Christian McCaffrey went to Germany to see specialists. And we find out today that he is going to miss a minimum of 2 months, but it could be longer. And I'm starting to get the sense that whatever's going on with him, Mike, and whatever, you know, follow-up appointments he had and the folks he saw over there, they're not telling him good news. Because if he was, if they were, I feel like we'd be hearing about him returning a lot sooner than a minimum of 2 months.
Yeah, this sounds like they're slow rolling that information, and it ain't good. So, you know, look, one thing about Shanahan, it's almost like you can plug anybody in there. But Christian McCaffrey's got a specific skill set. I mean, you know how good he is. He can run between the tackles. And this is always the concern when they sign that big contract. Now, this is a different injury altogether, but it just seems like, after all the wear and tear from his days all the way, Carl, back to Stanford, to, you know, running between the tackles for, you know, the Panthers, it's taken a cumulative effect, and now you wonder where his career is going
to
go.
All right, so that is news today around the NFL. Meanwhile, speaking of injuries, limited participation today, Bijan Robinson, shoulder.
What?
Matthew Judon, hamstring.
Scary.
Huh?
Scary.
No Caleb McGarry. We kind of figured that.
I think we'll see Storm Norton. I don't know. My spidey sense on how Coach Ra answered the question yesterday, I think we may see Norton on the right side of right tackle.
All right. If McGarry can play, I would prefer it, only because, again, we're going to have to run the ball. Now, that's not to say Storm Norton can't get the job done, but we got to run the ball effectively against the Saints. The other guy today that did not participate is Jake Matthews. No worries there, guys. His wife had a child. And so congratulations to the Matthews family. And so it was not injury-related. It was personal. And so we want to give a big shout-out to Jake, man. He's one of our favorite dudes. Mike mentioned the last time this happened, we were doing the show in Charlotte. We were like, is Jake going to get here in time?
Quick, get him on the blank machine. I mean, it was basically Falcon 1 got him on time to Charlotte after being there for the birth of baby number one. But as you know, Carl, I mean, most parents know, you're always going to love the first kid more than the second kid, so you'd have to be there for this one, do you?
That's not right,
what?
Mike. That's not right. He did make it, and he played well, by the way, in that Charlotte game.
Well, I mean, it's not true. My brother likes my mom liked my brother more than me, but my dad did like me more than my brother.
Brother,
how about your family?
Your brother was the baby. My mom loved me most.
Yeah, my mom, my brother was the middle, and my sister was like Meg on Family, and nobody liked my sister.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just telling you how it is, Orin. Orin's got a long face. I'm just telling you like it is, man.
Yeah, and then I always get the flack, you know, you was raised a lot easier than we
somebody
was.
Somebody who's trying to have a second kid right now, I'm just kind of putting in my mind what I'm going to.
Oh, well,
you'll always love the little man more than the next one. That's okay.
It's all
right. Well, a little breaking news there, though.
I can't say that. If he has a little girl, it'll be special.
Right. You getting back on that horse? It's a metaphor.
Come on.
No, I mean, last time we talked about this, she was riding you like a, you were like the proverbial horse,
did
technically.
Did you say riding him?
I mean, she was working him hard trying to get this conception.
Did you say working him?
That sort of stuff. Well, yes.
We are in the process right now of,
I mean, it sounds better
game.
Than efforting to conceive.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
I like that, yes.
All right, so you're in the waiting. You're waiting in
the
waiting
wait
room.
The wait and see run mode.
Again,
right
we got
now,
a lot of guys. I know we're trying to take your mind off the storm and everything. We got some guys behind the glass. When they're not on the radio, Chris has got a girl breaking his bed. This guy can't get a night's sleep, Carl. There's a lot of stuff going on here behind the scenes.
You know, when Chris told us that, it was personal. You just put his business out there.
Too late now.
All right, man. Let's talk about the Falcons. Today was a big day because it's Thursday. And according to Kirk Cousins, we'll let you hear this in 1 second, he thinks it's the most important day because it's third down day. We have had third down issues. But before we get to that, let's hear from our all-pro safety, Jesse Bates, talking about Alvin Kamara.
You know, Alvin, he can hurt you, obviously, in the run game. And also, you know, when he catches the ball outside, you know, on the check downs, and they do a lot of keepers as well that, you know, keeps you honest on your run fits. And then you got the play action pass. You got the two fast guys on the outside with Olave and Shaheed as well. And those guys are real dudes. Like, I think Tyreek is like number one with the most explosive plays. And then there's Shaheed right there. And then you got Olave who, you know, every year it just seems that he gets better. So, yeah, I mean, it's top to bottom. I think our D-line will have a big impacting this game for sure.
But we can all agree, right? I mean, raise your hand. Our defense has been keeping us in games.
It's much better, but this is a game where you've got to get pressure because it's just – it's still – look, I was there. You saw it on TV. We just got smoked because we got no heat on Derek Carr, and they carved us up. All those guys that Jesse was just talking about, we got to be able to get heat on Derek Carr because you let him sit any quarterback, let alone him. He'll pick us apart. Got to get some heat.
I agree. Now, as far as our quarterback is concerned, it's our Falcon Report, guys. Falcons preparing for the Saints. Tomorrow we'll give you our official picks. We'll dive a little bit deeper into this matchup. But with both teams dealing with O-line issues, this is going to be one of the main concerns. But Kirk was talking today about third downs, Mike, because Thursday practice is third down day.
You know, I always feel like Thursday is your big day, a long day because of that, because third downs are so important. Your walkthrough is very important. Your practice reps are important, your post-practice reps, and then, you know, even the tape you watch and kind of the review at night when you go back over it to make sure you're dotting I's, crossing T's, and thinking of down-the-line issues that could come up. So Thursday's a big day every week as you prepare because of the emphasis on third down.
How do we improve these third downs, man? How do we
execution? I mean, like everybody's looking for that, you know, the magic pill. You know, it's do your job. I mean, Cousins has got to be more accurate. Line's got to be able to do the thing. The route running's got to be crisp. I just felt that, you know, there are mistakes. And you know, we talked about, you know, they were being respectful. They didn't want to pin because we love Tyler Allgeier, but at the end of the game, trying to get that yard where you're missing a corner shooting through. There's just we're missing by, you know, you and I think, and I hate to say this all week, Carl, but fingers this close apart. We're missing by that much.
We are.
But that's about doing your job. And that's every man on that 53-man roster because we're close.
404-726-0929. You guys can hit us up. Find us on social media, by the way, at Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'Em Up, see Dukes. And the radio show is Dukes and Bell 929. Follow this radio station at 929 The Game. Stay up on everything that's going on. This hour is brought to you by All Four Seasons Garage and Entry Doors. This third down thing, all right, and I'll say this. If for whatever reason we are not better on Sunday, and I'm hoping we are, Monday, Mike, if we're talking about we were not successful, we had a low percentage of conversions, blah, 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 it's a thing. It's a thing. Now you're talking about four games, it becomes a thing. So this is why this has got to get better starting Sunday.
One of the things we used to get from Arthur Smith, now I know he drove you guys crazy, but one of the things he'd give us stuff on the record and stuff off the record, and things didn't go well, he would tell us basically what happened in confidence, you know, so we'd have the big picture about what was going on. And there's these individual assignments, and that's where it's at. But, I mean, you can't get Pitts that rhythm. All those touches, you know, Pitts' numbers, we think that should be the number for one game, not three games. But when you lose 15 plays, you know, however many you think, I mean, if a drive is going to be eight to 10 plays, you lost with two three and outs. We had a pick on second down. One series went five plays. You're never going to be able to establish what you want. If we had time of possession over the Chiefs, we won that freaking game.
Easily.
Period.
Easily.
Because we're holding them to field goals.
Yeah, I do agree with that. As we talk about the Falcons and Saints, update from them, and I'm talking about their injury situation, they did have Kamara listed as limited today. But again, I said to Mike, I think he shows up Sunday and he'll play. He's a tough customer, man, and they're having a good year with him. I mean, speaking of McCaffrey, Mike, he's having that kind of year. He looks like the guy he was 3 or 4 years ago when everybody's like, how do you stop this? When Sean Payton was there and Drew Brees and they, you know, they're winning, you know, 11, 12 games a year. He was a guy that really was hard to decipher as far as what they were going to do with him. He's back to that guy.
Yeah, man. By the way, what are the Saints going to do with Taysom Hill?
Oh, I forgot about him.
What's the stupid play they're going to roll together? Geez. And again, remember, guys, this is Kubiak's son. Because Clint Kubiak?
Yes, it is.
It's Clint Kubiak is the OC. And up until the Eagles started smacking him in the mouth, his game plan looked pretty bulletproof because they just went they went through the first two games like the best offense in the league. But, you know, Taysom Hill we always talk about Cam Jordan. Taysom Hill always lights us up. Does something.
No,
moves
right.
The chains, has a big touchdown, a big run.
Why'd you have to bring this guy up?
No, I'm sorry, man. Take your mind off the hurricane with Taysom Hill.
Yeah, you know what, though? You're right. I mean, because it's when you least expect it. And then there have been times where this dude started at quarterback against us, and we were like, there's no way. Come on, he's starting at quarterback. He can't win. And he beat us.
They swept us that year. Taysom Hill beat us 2 years in a row as a starter. I know. So it's the Saints. Now, we talked about
it. Can somebody put a hat on this dude?
Please. Please. Troy Anderson. By the way, you know what? We're talking about the defense. You know, Judon's got a hamstring, we just found out, you know, the injury report, and a shoulder for Bijan.
Stop playing, Matthew.
How about Troy Anderson become this dude you're supposed to be from the draft? This unbelievable, amazing athlete. You know, if you don't, you know, this is, I got to be fair. No, I've seen row yet because I'm told the other guys are so good. If they're so good, how come we only have three sacks? I mean, and I will ask Coach Rod that because I already asked him once, but I'll ask him next week because the answer was we've got guys ahead of him. If those guys are so good, then why is our second round draft pick not on the field? If
they can't get convenient narrative.
Now, Arthur, you're in Pittsburgh. You know, but that's a question. If you drafted a guy in the second, we've had an endless run now of like second round busts, and that's not even close because Rucaro, we haven't know what he is yet. But I mean, how is he not on the field when you can't generate heat on the quarterback? And I'll leave it there.
All right. 404-726-0929. We got some work to do. Mm. And we got to put it in against these Saints. Coming up, we're going to talk some college football. Biggest game this weekend, Georgia, Alabama. But there's some other games we got to talk about. And we'll talk to Danny Cannell about this NIL thing, man. We got to. Danny Cannell joins us next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
The Strong Arm Story of the Day is brought to you by John Foyt Associates Personal Injury Law.
Love listening to this dude on Sirius. Danny Cannell joining us. By the way, check out Bet Online for updated college football playoff conference, Heisman, all the stuff that you're interested in. They have the odds there. Danny Cannell, Dukes and Bell Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. It's good to have you back on. We've been talking about it all day. We had on Vince Dooley's wife, Barbara Dooley, to talk with us about some of the history with Alabama and Georgia. And she told us a great story about Bear Bryant and when Vince Dooley was playing. And it just tells you about the history between these two in Georgia and Alabama. What's your initial thought about this game Saturday night in Tuscaloosa?
Oh, I mean, this is college football at its finest, right? I mean, this is peak SEC. And especially over the last 5 or 6 years, for a while there, the Bama-LSU game in the regular season was the game that would often determine a national champion. And now, whether it's been the SEC championship game or as we're getting because of conference realignment, we're getting expansion and no divisions, now we're getting to see this type of matchup unfold in the regular season. This is all eyes in the college football world are going to have their eyes glued to the TV. If they're there in Tuscaloosa, the atmosphere is going to be absolutely bonkers. You're going to have some of the best talent in the country on both sides of the ball. There'll be NFL scouts lined up along the sidelines to watch all these players take place. It is going to be absolutely spectacular, and I'm here for all of it.
But who's going to step up? Because last year in the SEC Championship, Georgia just didn't have a plan for Milroe. And I'm curious to see Danny. I mean, we've seen him against Wisconsin. Looks like they're checking. They get the explosive plays. But is Georgia going to have something for Milroe in this one?
Yes, I think they will. I mean, Kirby Smart coming off a bye, you know, getting the film that you've got on Alabama. And really, I think the thing that Kalen DeBoer, their new head coach, has done with Jalen Milroe is embrace Jalen Milroe's running ability, which I think a lot of people, when DeBoer came in from Washington, they thought, oh, okay, Michael Penix was the quarterback that he coached at Washington. He was one of the best passers in the country. They averaged close to 400 yards a game for the beginning part of the season last year. They're thinking, oh, that's what you're going to get out of Jalen Milroe. He's going to change him and develop into him a passer. Mm-hmm. But instead, what you've seen is he's developed him and utilized him as a runner, which is really scary. And that's what smart coaches do, is they feed into what their players do best. And Milroe is an outstanding runner. And then when you start running the ball with success, that's when all of a sudden things come together and it opens up the pass game. And that's really what you saw against Wisconsin in the second half as Milroe started to hit on a couple of those plays. But after a bye week, getting healthy, I'm assuming Mykel Williams is coming back. Mm-hmm. I think Kirby Smart will have a plan, just like they did in the SEC championship game last year, because Milroe did hurt him through the air, but he didn't kill him through the ground. And I think that's got to be your game plan going into this game is, you know what, we might get beat through the air, and Milroe might hit a couple big plays like he did last year, but we cannot let him beat us with our legs. I'm pretty sure that's what Kirby Smart will do, and I'll be really curious to see also if they get aggressive and instead of playing a little bit more conservative and saying, all right, we're going to keep a spy on him, make sure he doesn't hurt us with his legs, maybe they actually bring some blitzers and bring some pressure and try to confuse him and be a little bit more aggressive on the road in Tuscaloosa. But that defensive game plan will probably determine the outcome of that game, along with the play of Carson Beck, which I'm sure we'll get to.
No, it's the next thing. Danny Cannell joining us. Danny, he has not looked dynamic. I use that word. I don't expect him to be a dual threat guy and running for 200 and throwing for 400. But I need him to make plays when I need him to do that, and he's not shown me yet that he's done enough of that here. I mean, the Clemson game seems like it was last year now.
I know. Right. This is getting – when we always say that, you know, college football is getting more like the NFL. It really is, and it's a what have you done for me lately? And I think that's what a lot of Georgia fans are saying for Carson Beck. What have you done for me lately? And the last time we saw him out there was a struggle against Kentucky, where it was kind of ugly and there were plays to be made. And here's the thing. I think he played good against Clemson, but I think he's going to have to play great in this game. And that was one thing that Stetson Bennett, the quarterback previous to him that won a couple national championships, really did bring, especially his last year. If you want to be a guy that's like remembered in Georgia history that wins the big games, you can't just be good. At times, you're going to have to be great. Mm. And this the one thing about this Alabama defense. Their secondary has been vulnerable. And the opposing quarterbacks they've played so far, who aren't exactly a great list of players, they're not guys that are going to be in the Heisman race. They're not guys going to be taken in the NFL draft. They're just kind of some average college quarterbacks. They have not been able to take advantage of it. That is the opportunity that I think Carson Beck will have. And he's going to have to step up and make some of those throws on the road to justify some of the preseason expectations as far as the Heisman, the preseason expectations as far as the NFL draft. This is the type of player that makes you a great in Georgia lore, and it cements your status as a top 10 pick in the NFL draft. So there is a ton of pressure on this young man who, again, he's been good. But I love that word that you use, dynamic, because that's what he's going to have to be on the road in Tuscaloosa against a pretty athletic defense that we've seen before. It's not changed that much on the defensive side of the ball.
It is Danny Cannell, Florida State legend, with us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. Around the SEC, I mean, well, the whole top 25 is SEC, but how about Tennessee? And, you know, we've always kind of thought of them under hypeless finesse, Danny, but now they got a really good defense to match the offense.
Oh, my goodness. That's the thing that's scary. And I will not claim this as my own because I don't like stealing other people's material, but I did hear them compared to the 2019 LSU team, where 2019 LSU was a team that with Joe Burrow at quarterback and Ja'Marr Chase and Jefferson as receivers, they had so much offensive firepower. And that's what I think you're getting with Tennessee. But as you alluded to, the thing that makes them potentially special and where you could see a run like that is this defensive front, which has been absolutely spectacular. James Pierce Jr. is probably going to be a top five NFL draft pick. Dominic Bailey, the other side of that line of scrimmage, the backers have been special. They have been aggressive. They've been dominant. They have been shutting teams down. So they have completely looked the part. I will say there's a bit of a caveat with me with Tennessee because they've been really good, and I think they're deserving of their ranking. They have probably two of the best wins versus NC State and Oklahoma as anybody in the country. But I do think their true test will come a little bit further down the road when they play Bama, when they play Georgia. Like, those to me will be the true test because Oklahoma has a little bit of a quarterback issue. And Oklahoma, by the way, is only a 2.5-point favorite against Auburn, who's been very lackluster this season. Yeah. So I think it kind of shows you, and NC State, by the way, you know, they're 2-2. They're a 500 team, which preseason expectations where they'd be better, but they're really a shell of themselves. So I'm still impressed with Tennessee. I still think they potentially could be on to something special like that 2019 LSU team with a defense to match some of the offensive firepower. But I still need to see them do it against the top-tier competition.
Danny, speaking of teams that have impressed me, it's even hard to say because every time we say, the U is back, something happens. Yeah. But they beat the snot out of Florida to start, 41-17. They put up 56 on Florida A&M, kind of expected. Ball State, they held them to nothing, you know, 62-0. Then South Florida, everybody said, okay, they played Alabama close, and then you saw Cam Ward score 50 against a team that gave Bama, you know, issues the week before. How good is this Miami team, man?
They're really good. I'll say the same thing about Tennessee. Like, the Florida game was impressive. It was at the Swamp, but then we saw Texas A&M do the exact same thing just a couple weeks later. South Florida, I think – so here's where I'm impressed with Miami, and this is where I think they're different than they've been in years past. We've had hype around this program in the last decade, and they've started off strong, and then they've laid some absolute eggs, well, like against Georgia Tech last year, and they probably still should have won that game, and Mario inexplicably doesn't kneel on the ball. They end up losing it. It's like this massive collapse. I think there is a belief and leadership on this team that does not let that happen. And I think a lot of that stems from Cam Ward. Mario Cristobal has raved about his leadership, and I think he's got that sort of alpha mentality where he's confident, he's cocky. He's out there. I don't know if you guys have seen the clip. I'm sure you probably have, where he's on the field against South Florida, and he calls out the A-gap, and he, like, says, we're coming right here. Right. They run the ball in the A-gap, and they score. And I think his teammates absolutely love that. And I think that's stuff that goes back to, like, the 90s and early 2000s Miami Hurricane program when they had that type of swagger. I think he has brought that back, and I think they are dialed in more so than ever before, which is why I'm not that worried about him against Virginia Tech this week. And here's the thing about them. I mentioned Tennessee having some tests coming up. Miami's schedule, especially considering the way Florida State has collapsed and been a real disappointment this year, they're probably going to be a double-digit favorite against Florida State at home. Louisville, who they play on the road, could be a tricky, you know, game. There's some games that you look at, and they're really going to have to, like, have a letdown. They should be double-digit favorites in almost every game the rest of their schedule. I don't know if they truly get tested from a team until the ACC championship game, which does appear to be a collision course with the Clemson Tigers.
Yeah, Danny, I was going to avoid talking about the Noles. I've seen them twice, including the Dublin game, and they're lost. And I don't know who thought DJU was going to be reinvented in Tallahassee. Is this the cautionary tale of the transfer portal?
I think so, Mike. Like, the thing that I look at was that I think both sides, I think DJ didn't get what he signed up for, and I don't think Florida State got what they signed up for. Now, what I mean by that is I think when Mike Norvell and the staff looked at DJU and they looked at their roster, they said, we need somebody who can give us some leadership, who can give us some stability, who's not going to make the big mistake, sort of a game manager, right? And what we're going to give him is we're going to, and this is what they sold DJ on, is our defense is going to be off the charts. We're going to have the best defensive line. Our offensive line is going to be awesome. We're bringing in Roydell Williams from Alabama. You're going to have a great run game to support you. And you're just going to have to kind of, you know, we're going to help you take that next step. We're going to have these great pieces around you. And I thought that's what DJ thought he was getting, and I thought that's what Florida State was getting when they said to DJ, we're going to get like a quarterback who can manage the game, not make the mistakes, step up and make a few big plays. I don't think either side got what they wanted. And I don't think Florida State gave DJ what they told him they would give him in this defense, which is supposed to be otherworldly in a run game. And then what you get is a quarterback exposed because – there's one thing DJ's been. He's been up and down. He's had massive expectations. He is not a quarterback who can put a team on his back and say, all right, I can make us better. I don't think he's been the biggest problem, but he really hasn't been a part of the solution, and that's been a big issue and a struggle for Florida State. So I look at the season. I hope they can salvage it. I'd love to see them, you know, get to 8 wins potentially. But they're an underdog, almost a touchdown underdog against SMU this weekend. Like, this is going to be a let's start building for the future season, which is wild. And I think that's one thing it's hurt so many Florida State fans. Like, it's been difficult to deal with because there were such massive expectations coming in.
All right, one last thing for me. You buy in Texas. Because I totally am, and I think this is as deep as Sark's had. You got two good quarterbacks. You've got good offensive line play. You got pros up front on the defense. I think they're legit.
Yeah, they got answers everywhere. I was at Michigan last week for the USC game, and I was on the field, and USC was there, and I'm sitting there watching the game, and there's a security guard next to me, and I'm like, hey, what do you think? I'm like, USC looks really big. They look good. And he's like, you should have seen Texas. And I was like, oh. And he had just seen him a couple weeks ago. That Texas, they are built to win. They've got deep pockets so they can buy anybody they want to in this NIL world. They've got depth at quarterback. The one position they've been dinged a little bit is running back, but it's sort of a position that you can, you know, you can make up for that. Mm-hmm. The defensive tackles, I think, is a concern, but all across the board, they've got depth and they've got two quarterbacks that look, you know, stellar and Arch Manning and Quinn Ewers, who Quinn Ewers, I do think, is probably going to be the number one overall draft pick. They look the part. They've answered the test. They are a really good team. I expect them to see them definitely in the Final Four and maybe in the championship game.
Right on.
Danny, thanks so much. Great analysis. Check him out, guys. He's on Sirius. And also check out Bet Online as they bring you Danny Cannell here on Dukes and Bell. Appreciate you, man. Enjoy the games this weekend.
You guys as well. It's always great catching up. Have a good one.
You thanks, too. Danny.
All right, coming up, we got a lot more to dive into. We know the Braves are not playing. We have not You know, nothing's changed. We got to wait and see how some of these games play out.
But there's a strategy with the pitching.
There is this weekend, and maybe we don't have to play two. That's what I'm hoping. Maybe it's just one game instead of a doubleheader. We'll dive into that a little bit, but also more about our Falcons coming up here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Like many of you, we're just staying up to date on what this thing is going to look like. As far as once it gets to our area and certainly the state of Georgia. South Georgia, Mike, a lot of wind, a lot of rain.
Yeah.
We know east, or at least east of the city, it looks like they're going to be getting a lot of that as well. But we're just trying to keep updated. But nothing's really changed except the fact is, Mike, we were in here earlier and you said it's now a 3.
Yep, and they're expecting it now, the Weather Service, to be maybe a 4 before it makes landfall because obviously the shallow warm water in that part of the Gulf. And then, I guess if there's any positive news, it moved about 10 miles to the east of the center. But as you said, the storm is so massive.
It is.
That, you know, that small consolation for people in Tallahassee. But, again, about 2 o'clock, rolling through South Georgia. And then, again, most of the models we're watching, all the local channels, it looks like about 7 a.m. through the heart of metro Atlanta, the core of what would be the storm.
Correct. And then, by the way, this thing's moving so fast. The good news is that it's going to be out of here fairly quickly on Friday, and then hopefully the weather turns. Next week looks great, but we got to get through this stuff. All right, Mike, as far as the Braves, we know they're off. They will play that doubleheader on Monday. MLB was trying to figure out what they wanted to do, couldn't come to a decision, especially with the fact that they don't like to start games that they think it's unlikely that they can get 5 innings in. So they didn't, and that's why we have this doubleheader. But the big question is, how do you adjust your pitching rotation when it comes to these games now? And I said, if you are in a must-win situation, whether it's Monday or against the Royals, whatever the circumstances are, because we'll know more with these other teams and how it shakes out, that's when you start Chris Sale. Otherwise, Mike, he's your ace in the hole. You leave him where he is. We know he was supposed to start yesterday. Get some work in. But I think that's the big question for the Braves.
Yeah, I think a guy like that can do the bullpen starts, you know, whatever you – I mean, that, like, simulate a game or anything. Just keep him fresh. And he knows how to maintain his body at this stage. He's going to win a friggin' Cy Young in the NL probably. But then, yeah, then you're able to drop the hammer in a must-win situation. You know, the Mets are playing the Brewers. The Brewers may or may not rest some of their starting players. You know, you might not see their best. They're going to set up their rotation for the postseason and maybe play the Mets or the Braves. But, yeah, we've got to sit here in this limbo. And again, Friday, we don't know if there's any extenuating circumstances because of the storm in metro Atlanta. What if the Royals game one can't get played? That's a whole other thing. Then you have to play. You may have to potentially play two doubleheaders. I mean, that's a worst-case scenario. But you will certainly get Chris Sale in there when you've got a game you've got to win. I don't. Some guys are questioning this. I like it as long as everybody else does their job, as long as Max Fried, you know, gets it done on Friday. Again, knock wood, the game gets played.
We will wait to see. All of those things are to be determined, but we do have times, and we know that game on Monday, the first game is going to be at 1 o'clock. They may only have to play one. Mike, Kirk Cousins today said he feels like this offense is coming together. It's been 3 games. In this 4th game, I expect this offense to be more fluid. I expect more first downs on 3rd down, which we'll let you hear what he had to say. But do you feel that way? I mean, I feel like the defense has come together. I'm still like, okay, offensively, there are times we look good and then there are times we're struggling.
I'll say it again. I mean, they're not going to come and say, you know, Cousins is probably about 85% of where he needs to be. And 85% of Cousins, they were able to win you that Monday Night Football game against the Eagles. I still think he's getting, you know, shaking off the rust, the in-game stuff. He's still got to be more accurate with the passes. We talked about the no-call, which the whole country, the entire football-watching world, losing their mind that, you know, the Chiefs get the call against the Bengals and then Pitts gets mugged and no-call. If the ball's up in the air up around his hands, it's an obvious call. You know, I presume the ref would have called that if the ball's a little bit higher. That's the only excuse I think some folks would make for the refs. But Cousins got to be more accurate. We've seen glimpses. We've seen snippets of it. And then combine that with, is Zach Robinson comfortable doing his job just yet? He's still learning his. This is, you know, you guys all play Madden, right? Now do it in real time with real people. You know, different ball game. Everybody thinks this, and we all thought during the summer this was going to be a video game. But Zach Robinson, I think, is learning. And another thing is Zach Robinson probably has things he wants to do that he can't get to do because we're going 3 and out too many, too often, right?
Well,
so the player usage rate is down. Pitts isn't getting the usage. Zach will get sick and tired of hearing questions about Kyle Pitts.
I want our offense to score 100 points a game, right? But those other guys get paid too. Chris Jones gets paid, right? Everybody on the Eagles team, those guys get paid too. I would love to tell you that this would be as easy as we felt like it might be. But a lot of this is just execution. Kirk Cousins said, I came off the field and I felt like Mooney and I had a little bit more of a connection. He's talking about the Kansas City game. He says, Drake, you know, Kyle, I felt good about the routes and the things that we were able to connect on. That is why he says, I feel like we're making strides. Let's hear Kirk Cousins, our quarterback, talk about the third down struggles, Mike, because that is what's got to get fixed.
Yeah, I think it's a combination of factors. I wish it was as simple as one thing we could hone in on, but it's probably a variety. And among that would be, let's get in third and shorter distances, first of all. And then when we have like a third and one, let's try to, you know, it kind of takes on a different framework than when you're in third and six. You might be in the shotgun and dropping back. But trying to get the short yardage, trying to get those more medium ranges as opposed to being in third and 10 plus too often. And then I think a lot of that comes down to your first and second down offense, you know, and staying out of penalties. And so everything kind of builds on one another. And then some of those third downs are in the red zone. And so really you kind of talk, yes, it is third down, but it's a little different when it's third and goal from the four. That's a different thing than third and four at the 50-yard line. So trying to, you know, be really effective in our third down red zone offense. And that's a place I think we can be better. So.
I think so,
agree.
Too. Yeah, I do, too. I'm with him on all of that. It's Dukes and Bell at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. This hour is brought to you by All Four Seasons Garage and Entry Doors. One other thing from our quarterback coming up next hour, Mike. We get the Saints perspective with our buddy Bobby Hebert. He's going to join us at 6:20. Here's Cousins talking about these division games and how when you're playing in these games, these division games, because you know how important they are, little bit extra added.
I think, again, you talk out two sides of your mouth. On one hand, they all count one, and you got to find, you know, the wins wherever you can get them, and you're not going to, you know, really differentiate one over another. They all count one. I think then you can also talk about how NFC South games, you know, sort of count a little more because the goal is to win the South and be able to host a playoff game. So, you know, that has value. And then you talk about the Saints being a rival, and so you certainly feel like, you know, these games here now approaching you know, do have that added weight.
They do. He gets it. He gets it. Not his first rodeo. We talked about it earlier, comparing it to like times with the Redskins against the Cowboys when he was there, and certainly what he dealt with in Minnesota against all those rivals like Green Bay. But yeah, I mean, we've just got to be better on that third down. You talked about it at length. The other thing today we found out, which is kind of surprising because we didn't get any kind of a hint about this, is that Bijan apparently has some sort of a shoulder issue that kind of had him limited in practice today. So yeah, Bijan Mustardson. Hopefully rub some mustard on that shoulder. And then Matthew Judon has an issue with a hamstring. At least that's how it's listed on the Falcon injury report.
Stop playing with my emotions, Judon.
Hamstrings take forever. And they you know what a hamstring is, man. So now I'm nervous.
Yeah.
Because we got to get Carr on the ground. We got to get Carr on the ground, Joe.
We absolutely do. Hey, coming up, top three at six. We'll let you in on one piece of news that has a lot of people today saying, is he going to play at all? Find out what we're talking about next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.